6 o'clock. Just push down the having it there. Okay, we are on Kuf Hayamid Beis. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th widest line. Person should learn entire mitzvah, even shloi lishma, because doing a shloi lishma can bring him to do it lishma. The schar of 42 kabbalas that Balak brought, he was zaycha and Rus came out. So we're saying is that even though he did it shloi lishma, still it can accomplish something, because we see it came out Rus, who was megayeres lishma. That's what I assume the pshat in the Gemara is. Rashi? No, my membase kabbalas of Rashi, named Parim Elam, Zayim Parim Zayin Elam, Gimel Bamim. But he brought 7 parim and 7 elam 3 times. Harimem beiz min parim ve'elam, that's 42, 3 times 14. So you have to say that the pshat is, it's not that that Balak became Lushma. Balak didn't become Lushma, but his Shlai Lushma, give him a minute, he has to call him. His Shlai Lushma led to a Lushma. That's what we're saying. The Mefarshim here ask Akasha, Taisus and Brachas ask that the Gemara says elsewhere that somebody who does mitzvah shloi lishma is better off not being born. So Taisus asks, here it says that's a good thing to do shloi lishma, and there it says that anybody that's Isaac ben mitzvah shloi lishma neich lo shloi nivra. Taisus answers, it depends what the shloi lishma is. Is the shloi lishma for a gaiva, for covet, for enjoyment, that's fine. If the shloi lishma is for it works. I don't know why it doesn't try. First time nobody answered. We didn't get to the phone on time. Whatever it is. Okay. So one's gonna call this. One's gonna call that. Fine. So if he did shloi lishma like hunter. To argue, angry people, that won't work. To anger people, will not work. That's what the Taisus answers. So the Mashar asks from this Gemara, where this Gemara clearly states that he did it Shalai Lishma, and he didn't do it, he did it to anger, Klal Yisrael, he did it against Klal Yisrael. So why should this Shalai Lishma earn him anything? So the Mashar answers, he did it because of fear. Meaning, he didn't do it to anger, to get against Klal Yisrael. He was afraid of Klal Yisrael. To save himself from what he thought was an impending destruction is viewed as a shloi lishma that's not lekanter. Very interesting, Masha. Even though he did it against Klal Yisrael, but it wasn't intended that he was looking for a fight. He thought Klal Yisrael was going to get him, therefore he did it. And therefore that's called shloi lishma that can come to lishma. Is there a Reb Chaim V'Lajiner? I don't know how well fits into this Gemara. Reb Chaim V'Lajiner is bothered by the language of Oilam Yasek Adam B'Tayr B'Mitzvah Afilu Shloi Lishma. Person should always do mitzvahs even Shloi Lishma. Not always. Person should start off doing it Shloi Lishma. Should be Tayr Shloi Lishma Bo Lishma. Why are we saying L'Oilam? Person should always do it. Reb Chaim V'Lajiner learned that the pshat in this Gemara is that a person that does something Shloi Lishma inevitably, in the middle of the mitzvah will be faced with, or the Taira will be faced with, how much I put into it. And he might put in a little extra that's not necessary for the Shloi Lishma. That's already Lishma. Means a person should always do mitzvah's entire mitzvah Shloi Lishma, should be Tarik Shloi Lishma, in the middle of the Shloi Lishma, Ba Lishma. There'll be a little bit Lishma. For instance, a person's learning, so people should say he's great in learning. Yeah, but then there's a Taitzvah that people won't know the difference if he knows it or not. They won't know the degree, so he could get away without it and still get the same Shloi Lishma, but he does it anyway. So that extra thing that he did that does not necessarily make a difference in the Shloi Lishma he's driving at. That part's Lishma. So Chaim Elojan has said, in the mitzvah and the Torah that he does Shloi Lishma, inevitably there'll be a little bit that's Lishma. That's what he says, Pshat in this Gemara is. Not that one Shloi Lishma will reach a future Lishma, which the other Mepharshim learn, but that when a person does things Shloi Lishma, inevitably in the Shloi Lishma there'll be a little bit of a Lishma. That's the Gemara
Vayit, Am
Rabbi
Yehi Barhuna. In other words, to say that it'll really come with Shema completely.
He's learning differently than the others learn. The others learn, if you start Shema Lishma, ultimately in your life, you'll come to Lishma.
It's not a promise, in other words, by everybody.
Well, it didn't work by Balak. Balak just did it, and he was Zaycha to a Schar that his granddaughter did a Lishma. His great-granddaughter, whatever it is. That's what the Gemara is saying. Somebody will do it Lishma because of a person Shloi Lishma. That's what the Gemara says. Chaim Elojan says, the Pshat is, that the person themselves, in the Shloi Lishma, ends up doing something Lishma. That's the Gemara right there. Amar Avu Yaisi Barhuna, Rus Bitoi Shal Eglon, Vem Benai Shal Balak Malach Maisaisa. Rus was the daughter of Eglon, the grandson of Balak, and the Mepharshim speak out daughter here doesn't mean literal daughter, it means he was a descendant of Eglon, this grandson of Balak. So it's telling you that Rus has to do with Balak. That's the Gemara right, Amalei Rav El Rabbi Bamori. Rav says to Rabbi Bamori, Shivet says in the Pasuk, Yetev Elikim Hashem Shleima Mishmecha. The Navi told David HaMelech that Hashem will make better or greater the name of Shleima than your name. V'yigdal as Kisei Mikis Echa, and he will make bigger his throne than your throne. Ayrech Ara L'Mamela L'Malka Hachi, is that proper to tell a king that your son will be bigger than you? I mean, kings are always told how great they are, not that someone's going to be greater than them. That's not a way of treating royalty with respect. You're fine, but somebody else is bigger than you are, or will be bigger than you are. That's a Gemara Amaloi Me'en Ka'amritlei. What it means to say is, not Mikisacha, greater than your throne, or Mishmecha, greater than your name, or Me'en Ka'amritlei, meaning similar to your name. Meaning your son's throne will always be as big as your throne, similar to your throne. Mikisacha, Mishmecha. That's what he answered him. Yilai Dei Mahachi. Not going to say this, then I got a problem. It says that Devira and her Shira gave a bracha to Yoel Eshes Chavarakeni, the lady that had caused the death of Sisera. So it says in the pasuk, "Tavirach minashim," she should be blessed. Pashim Shadis more than the ladies. Yoel Eshes Chavarakeni, Yoel the wife of Chavarakeni, minashim ba'ayel Tavirach. She should be blessed more than the women that are in the tent. Now, who are the women in the tent? Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Velaya. It says over there they were in the tent. It says that Yitzchak brought Rivka, Ahaya, La, Sarah, Imai. So we see that Sarah had a tent, and Rivka came to that tent. It says, by Rachel and Leah, Vayetim, Ayel, Leah, Vayava, Bayel, Rachel. So the Nashim, Bayel, those that the Torah refers to them as having a tent, she will be blessed. Are we saying that, Ayrach, Ara, Lamemrachi? Is it proper to say that Yoel is greater than the Imais? Elamein, we're saying, Minashim doesn't mean she will be greater than the women. She will be similar to the women. She will be something like the women, but not greater than. This is his approach to these psukim. Rashi, let me just finish. Rashi, Ayrach Ara Lamein Rahaki, Riki Derach Eretz, Ken Shiyemu, Vayitav Lakim, Shem Shleim, Mishmecha, Vachol Shadaita, he would feel bad. Damir Le Shei God from the other. Doesn't the king feel bad? Main Shmecha Gamaleya, Main Kisacha, Veloy Godl Mamish, not greater. Nashim Ba'ayo, Sara Rivka Racha Valeya, Sara Rivka the Siv, Ayyvel Yitzchak Rahel, Sara Imai, he brought her to the tent and she was like Sarah. Racha Valeya the Siv, Ayyatim Ayaleya, Ayyavah by a Racha. Ayyrak Irish, I'm with the Vira the Yosh, Te Bruchel, be Sara Rivka, she should be blessed more than Sara Rivka. Ela Main Birka Sara Gamra means similar to the Birka Sara. Now, before you ask any questions, Avram, I want to do one more line. Oblegin to Rabbi Yaisi Barachoni. I'm Rabbi Yaisi Barachoni, the Cholodom Miskanechus with Noyim Matamidai. The Rabbi Yaisi Barachoni argues, he says, jealousy ends at a person's own child or own student. We see that from Shleima, David HaMelech was told Shleima will be greater than you. And there was no tinge of jealousy because people are happy that their children make it bigger than they are. There's no jealousy between father and son. But Tamidah, we're going to have a riot in a moment. Okay, so Rashi Mishanina Beluga Hayda Mishanina Shem Shleim Mishmecha Me'ein. That which we say doesn't mean greater, but similar to, is arguing Beluga Rabbi Yehi Barchaini Benay Minayin Shein Mekanaboy. How do we not jealous Mishleim? But the Kama LeDavid Gitav LeGim Shem Shleim Mishmecha Shem should make the name of Shleim greater than your name. Okay, yes, you had a question. I figured that's why I figured I'd wait.
This
machlokas
is more
telling
how people feel.
I think it's a machlokas in the approach that we take. I think so. I mean, I have no other shot in the thing. In one shot, it seems to say telling him he'll be bigger than him will be an affront to his kingdom. And the other shot seems to be saying that nobody takes affront in telling him that his son will be bigger than him.
I
don't think you have to take anything.
What's that?
I don't think you have to take anything.
Rabbi,
yes.
You have to say the exception here is father and son. Why can't you say when it's to the benefit of something that you're starting?
Well, that's father and son, Rabbi and Talmud.
Rabbi and Talmud.
That's the next one. There's two. The Gemara says both. It's father and son and Rabbi and Talmud. And the reason is because he's getting it because of you, so therefore there's no jealousy. That the Gemara, Rabbi, the Talmidai.
But to be honest, Rabbi, that if a person cares about his country, even if, let's just say, if are people like that? A person wants his country, he started his country, and then it turns out he has the customs of children, whatever it is, and so does take over. If it's going to be the benefit of our country, go for it.
I guess you might be very ashamed or very patriotic. I don't know how to explain your I guess normal people are jealous of other people.
I mean, I thought that's what it's all about.
Would George Washington be jealous that he didn't get the first Air Force One? That he didn't get as much covet as the president gets today?
Covet is a bad.
Everything. Yes. Doc, do you have a question?
Well, this is, in part the difficulty, that would seem to be on the side of the Gemara, is that there are people who you and I both know that who have no sense of self and no sense of guidance. And certainly David and Melech al Shalom. Now, the paradigm is father and son, but specifically,
again, the Gemara is saying, I think we'll do the next few lines and we'll see even more. And we'll leave it at that and we'll let it. Elio says, what do you want? He says, I want to have double the amount of nevuah that you had. Now, how do you dare tell somebody I'd like to be bigger than you are? And not think that that's an affront to respect. I'd like to have twice as much as you have. That's what Elisha told Elio. Terry says he was confident that Elio has something to be jealous about because Elio is his Rebbe. And Rebbeim aren't Mekana and the Talmidim. Vibai Seimam. Vayisimach Hashyadav Olavai Tadeyu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to lean one hand on Yeshua, and he put both hands in Yeshua. To show that there's no jealousy at all that Yeshua has been given the new rulership over Klal Yisrael. Those are the two riots. Now, the Mepharshim are bothered because they're Midrashim that say that Moshe Rabbeinu was upset when Hashem spoke to Yeshua and left him out. Now, if all they know the Mitzkan Echutz Mibnoi V'Tamidoi, why is he upset? So, there are different Terutzim given. Whatever Terutzim will give, but the assumption here is that human nature doesn't like to see anybody get greater than the person, unless the person feels he had a share in that greatness as well. That's what the Gemara is telling us. That means the Gemara is thinking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi. The Tamidah Ibai Sayyid to come a little Leo, but you know Bishnai Bruchacha Eli. Let me have double, but not some Leo. Leo said you can have it. He didn't really say you can have it. He said, if you see me being taken away, you will get it. When it's gone, but he wasn't jealous. One hand, he did two hands. That's the Gemara writes. I don't know, but he knew. It says that Kadosh Baruch Hu put words in the mouth of Bilam. That's what the pasuk says. It says over there. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Malach. Rabbi Eliezer says there was a malach in the mouth that would not let Bilam say klalus. Rabbi Yehonah say machika. Rabbi Yehonah said it was a bit in his mouth. And I guess the machloikus is into the kind of control Bilam was placed under. Was it a malach which would indicate that Bilam did not suffer because he couldn't say the klalus? He just wasn't able to say the klalus. Or was it a chika, like a bit? Horses don't like when they're pulled by their bit. Bilam didn't like it much when he couldn't say the klalus, and it was painful for him, but he had a bit in his mouth that didn't allow him to say klalus. So just to question the way the Mepharshim explained it, to what degree of discomfort was Bilam placed into by not being able to say the klalus? That's how Rashi is. Mashmalah to Rashi. The Rashi, Maluch Shemasa Kodesh Baruch Hu, who the Maluch, Shalei Nechanu Lekao, should not let him curse. He could ask him if he Bilam Shalei Manicha Lekao, didn't let him curse. V'hayna Vayasim. And that's Vayasim. Others want to say, and it doesn't fit well into Rashi, that the difference is as follows. The Maluch makes it that he doesn't try to get the Klala out of his mouth. So Shad is the Maluch changes his speech. He never says the Klala. The Maluch takes the words of Klala that Bilam utters and turns them into bracha as they leave Bilam's mouth. So you hear bracha, Bilam's saying Klala, and what's coming out is bracha, thanks to the Maluch, who does a voice change, who does a word change as the words leave Bilam. And Chika is saying he never could get the Klalas out of his mouth. Again, pick or choose. This, Rashi seems to say the other way, that one is a more respectful way of controlling his speech.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Is the power from whom it emanates? Does it matter? If I have an insane guy cursing me on the street, the fact that he pronounces the
word,
does that have the same effect?
This is a big shaila in the Gemara. First of all, the Gemara says in Megillah that alti killa tedit kala beinecha. The Gemara says there a person should not take lightly the bracha of a regular person, nor should they take lightly the klala of a regular person. Klala has impact. Now, the question over there is the klala has to be based on something? Can the klala just be a klala given without any basis? There is a pasuk that says, kilalas chinam loy savoy. A klala for no reason will not happen. However, the Gemara brings cases that a klala uttered by a big person can have an effect, even if it's given for no reason. So, the assumption seems to be that if it's given by a person who is a regular lay person for no reason, it is nothing to worry about. However, if it's given by a person who has a reason to give the klala, even if it's a wrong reason, but it's meaning they think they had a valid reason, something happened that was wrong, might have had to happen, might have been for the better good, but somebody was wronged and hurt, and their response is a klala. The case of the Gemara that the Gemara gives is Avraham and Avimelech. Avimelech said to Sarah, "Hine loch ksus inayim." The Gemara says he cursed her with blindness. Ksus inayim, your eyes should be covered. Now, Avimelech gave it based on the fact that he thought Avraham Avinu and Sarah had wronged him. Right? They had not, but he felt they did. And the Gemara says, "Veniskayim bezara," Yitzchak became blind because of Imelech's klala, which is different than the Rashi in this week's Parsha, but that's what the Gemara says in Megillah.
In this case, God tells Bilam, you're not going to be doing any curses. Bilam wants to anyway. So you would think, on the analysis you just gave, that there's no inherent, Bilam had no reason to curse, except he was being paid, or he had his own mishigas going on in his head. There's not even a veil.
Right, so this seems to say that a klala uttered has an effect, right, regardless. Now, the Gemara does say, kilas chinam loy savoy, but I guess Bilam is not a, being a nubby that he is, might change the mix over here. But it is the Gemara is going to say later on that even though he never uttered curses, but since he wanted to say curses, they affected Klali Sora at a later date. His intention had a negative impact on a later date when they deserved klala. Bilam's klala came into play that he never uttered. It didn't happen at that point. At that point, nothing happened. Later on, when Klal Yisrael sinned, those things that he wanted to say manifested themselves. Yes.
Does
So what would the halakha be vis-a-vis somebody who meets the definition of a shug?
That's what we say, kilas chinam loisavar. We take it. There are people that get nervous about it, but the Gemara brings the pasuk of kilas chinam loisavar. Again, there are people that worry about it, and they do things to, you know, all kinds of, I don't know exactly, but the Gemara does say kilas hedyet counts. But again, in the case of Abimelech and Sarah, Abimelech felt wrong. He didn't have a right to feel wrong. The Gemara says what he did had been improper by people asking, you know, is this your wife or your sister, before they say, do you have a place to sleep? But the bottom line was, he felt wronged. He cursed Sarah. It worked. Not on her, but on her son. Talk to Gemara.
Now, it comes out that Bakshava Ra is the star of the rising.
Okay, we didn't do that Gemara yet. You're asking Gemara, we didn't do yet. So let's get to the Gemara and then you'll live. No, but your question is on that I said that the Makshava Bilam had an impact. That's the Gemara Vaita. Right. That's the Gemara Vaita. I'm a Rabbi Yehonan, I'm a Bechazin, Shalai, Shirash, Atalam, and Mahoyah, Belibai. From the bracha of his, that he gave, we learn what he really wanted to say. He wanted to curse Klal Yisrael that he should not have shoals. So what did he say? Matayv Olacha Yaakov. We learned that from the fact that he said, how great are your tents, Yaakov? Meaning, you have such great gathering places. He wanted to say you shouldn't have gathering places. The sister Shechina Leim, he wanted to say they should not have the Shechina on them. Mishkinasecha Yisrael. So what did he say? The resting place of the Shechina is Yisrael. Their kingdom should not last long. So he ended up saying, Kimcholim Nitoyu, like streams that flow, I guess. Probably has a better word, Arsko.
Stretch out.
They shouldn't have physical comforts of vineyards and olive trees, Kiganai Sali Nohar, like the gardens and the river. There shouldn't be a fragrance of mitzvahs from them. Kaholam Nata Hashem, like the spices that Hashem has planted. They shouldn't have malachim that are imposed fear in people. Karazim alimayim, like cedar trees in the water. There should be no dynasties. There should be constant change in kingdom. Yizomayimidoyav, the water should flow from his pitchers. They shouldn't rule other nations. His children should be in many waters, which means they will control many waters. Their kingdom should not be a strong one. Agag is Agag literally Agag? How does he translate that?
Exalted over Agag.
Exalted over Agag means they will be strong and they will be over other kings. They should not have the fear of their kingdom. Their kingdom should be uplifted. Rashi. Hashem changed the clothes of Racha. He wanted to curse them in a certain way. He didn't get permission. Malchus will be strong. Give me a few more lines, and then your question will be either stronger or not there. They all ultimately turned into klala besides shoals. Shenemar. One klala was totally turned to bracha. The first one. When it was only one, Shem made that into a bracha. Every other one turned into a temporary bracha, later on manifested itself in a negative way. Klala v'loy klalois. Only one, not many. Rashi, haklal chutz mi bata kinesis bata midrash shlo yivstukum Yisrael the island. There will always be shoals. Haklal lebracha agas min haklal sapach lebracha. One of the clothes he turned to bracha, so chazru the island never changed. Why kala clothes to bracha? She chazru they did change. Yes, Avram.
So, I'm trying to figure out what. Don't we have a chazal say, I don't want your brachas, I don't want your clothes, I don't want you get involved, you know?
Yes.
So, who needs...
You don't need, but he wanted to say clothes, so Shem had him say brachas.
But what do you mean that Shem, I don't need anything you say? First of all, is he being... Okay. Who needs them?
Nobody.
Who wants them?
Nobody.
So why do I don't want his, you know, his bracha to me is a
yeah. It was negative. It caused negativity later on down the line. Correct.
No one heard this?
No, they heard the brachas. No. He told Bilam the brachas. We didn't hear the klalos that he wanted to say, but they're implied. And that implication had disastrous effects later on.
Was his brachas?
No, they were. We didn't. Hashem said, I can do without. Do you want to know why Hashem let him say anything? I don't know.
I thought you said we're taking what he wanted to say, or a tremendous bracha, right?
Hashem took, he wanted to say a klala, and he ended up saying a bracha.
Okay, and what I'm asking is, who needs...
Nobody needed it, but that he wanted to say it. You want to know why didn't Hashem stop him from saying anything? That's what you're trying to say.
He had a hook in
the mouth, just didn't say, let him say klala. And the words he said, I guess the words he said had to come out because of his choice, and therefore it came out as bracha. What you're asking is, why didn't Hashem muzzle him that he couldn't say a word? That's what you're asking me.
But
the bottom line is that what you're asking me.
But that's simple.
Right, exactly. That's saying it simply. Agreed. Asking the question in a simple form. Let Hashem not let him say a word. That's what you're saying. The answer is, obviously, for whatever reason, these klalos were necessary for later generations. They were there in place for later generations, if they don't behave. So Bilam became the vehicle where those klalos dressed up as brachas were said. Right? That's fact. That's what happened. Why it had to come from Bilam, I don't know. Am I missing your question?
I'm saying, so it comes out the reason the clothes happened, Hashem, is because Machshava.
Because of his intent when he
right,
said the word,
intent.
Correct.
So when I said these words, it was changed to bracha. I mean, was there a halos bracha?
Temporarily, yes.
There's a halos bracha even though he didn't mean it.
Right.
So Hashem give bracha just give.
You're asking again. It's back to the same question. Why is Bilam the vehicle?
Okay.
Yes.
In the end, patience. I mean, he enters in 1 week. At the end of the first day, it's a.
What do you mean?
Maybe Yaakov loving.
Loving gave Yaakov a bracha. That's what you mean?
After being told not to say anything, and this is the extension of exactly that much.
Well, Bilam is loving, but that's. Okay.
Not the
yeah, I understand. Yes.
Not the words
of bracha. Correct. Matayim was a bracha. We say it every day in davening. You realize that we say Bilam's pasuk every single day in davening. Matayim v'lecha Yaakov Mishkinasech Yisrael. That was the one that turned into a real bracha.
I heard last year. Moshe Feinstein.
That's what he meant, but it turned into a bracha. Hashem
said it as a
again, the Gemara says he said it as a klala.
Hashem didn't change his words. That was his original intention.
The Gemara says he wanted to say Shlayi Batik Nesias and Batim Midrashas. He ended up saying Matayv Alechu Yaakov. He meant bad. Hashem said good, but this is the one Hashem took and didn't care about his machshava. That it doesn't say the Gemara. The Gemara to Mashmah, it's not the same words. If Ramashmah wants to say it is the same words, it's fine, it doesn't bother me. But this turned into a bracha, the Gemara says. It became a bracha. If it were a klala, we wouldn't say it every morning.
The Gemara is saying the words would change.
No, the Gemara is not saying that. Gemara says he wanted to curse them and Hashem turned it into a bracha. Now, if I don't know what you're quoting, but if you're quoting Ramashmah that these are the words he wanted to say, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the intent. His intent and left it neutral, and the words sound like a bracha. Again, I can't comment on something I didn't see.
But he says that you can only say what that Kodesh Baruch Hu puts in his mouth. So
right.
Who said he wanted to curse him?
The Gemara is saying that we see from what he said that what he wanted to say. That's the Gemara bite. I'm Rabbi Yosef Ben Achmei. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. It says in the pasuk, "Nemanim pitzayayev." The wounds caused by a friend are trustworthy, meaning they're done from a friendship standpoint. The Nataris Neshika Sinai, the kissing of an enemy is opposite, meaning they are done, and an enemy kisses a person, it's done without any heart done without any meaning. It's only surface, not real. Whereas the wounds caused by an enemy are meant for good. The kissing of the wounds caused by a friend are meant positively. The wounds, the kissing of an enemy has negative implications. Meaning, not everything is what seems to be, it's the intent behind it. The curse that Achia Shalonius Yisrael had more good hidden in it, more than the bracha that Bilam Arasha gave them. And the Gemara explains why. Achia Shalonius killed us Yisrael Bekana. Achia Shalonius cursed Klal Yisrael that they'll be like a reed. Hashem will hit Klal Yisrael like a reed that moves in the water. Sounds terrible. There'll be a destruction, like a reed that moves in the water. But if we look into it, a reed grows on water. There's always nutrition. The gizay machlev, and if it's cut down, grows right back again. The shurash of merubim has very strong roots. That's what we call ruchah shibayilim baz v'nayshizvay. And even if all the winds come, a mazizat aysim imkayim will not be able to move it out of place. It'll shake. It'll move. It'll turn. It'll bend. That it won't uproot it. It goes along with the winds. The soft reed that blows in the winds. Blows in the winds, but as soon as the winds die down, this reed is there, standing straight as before. That's how Achia cursed them. They'll be like a kana. There'll be winds. In fact, the Marsha says the Rukha Shabailam are the four winds. There's the northern wind implies Bavel, which is to the northeast of Eretz Yisrael. The eastern wind is Madai, which is Iran, which is directly east of Eretz Yisrael. The western wind is Yavan, Greece is to the west. Edom, even though it came from Rome, but the country of Edom is located to the south of Eretz Yisrael. Edom moved when the Sukharev mixed up the nations and they ended up in Italy. But really, Edom is to the south of Eretz Yisrael, so they are viewed Mitaimon. It says Kaimi Taimon Ba, Taimon refers to Edom to the south of Eretz Yisrael, and those are the four winds. They blow at us, we go to Gullus after Gullus after Gullus after Gullus. At the end of the day, we will remain standing. That's what Achia said. I will build him a Russia, Birkum the Eretz. He said, like a cedar tree. My Eretz there ain't no aim of the Mokamayim. Eretz doesn't usually grow on water. Now the Akkadish Baruch who added the words Alimayim. He said, Karazim, Shem said Alimayim. Mishurashim Watim, they don't have that many strong roots. Thank you, Zemaklev. Cut down, it does not regrow, it has to be replanted. That depends on which cedar tree the Gemara says elsewhere. Even if all the winds blow at it, it stands erect. Winds don't make a cedar tree move. However, even Shanashba Baruch Duraimus comes a strong southern wind, Miyada Krasse by Vlase Alpanov will uproot it and turn it on its face. And therefore, the Klala he gave them is better to Klal Yisrael than the bracha Bilam gave them. Now the Mashal points out that in Bilam's curse was that Klal Yisrael will survive the first three Goliaths, but that Golias Edom will uproot them. That was his curse. Comes the Ruach Droimus, comes Golias Edom, will be Hifchase Apanov. They will replace Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael will no longer be Klal Yisrael. That was his curse. But we're trying to show in his disguised blessing, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu disguised, the implications of comparing them to a cedar tree has negative implications, whereas comparing them to a reed done in a negative way has positive implications. That's what it says. Yes.
Adam would remain intact even after it was moved to Italy. I thought some kind of managed to destroy all the.
Didn't destroy. He moved.
He didn't mix up all the nations.
He moved. He Bilam means he moved them out of place.
All the nations remain intact. Whatever
I, for me to say the word all would be wrong.
Wasn't that his...
His point was to take you out of home. Until you get accustomed to your new land, there won't be any revolution.
I thought it was only
the nation. No. If you moved a million Egyptians out of Egypt now, there would be no demonstrations in Tahrir Square. Right? Because they would be busy accommodating themselves to their new location. You only do that at home. So he moved them out of place. There wouldn't be rebellion. Does not say that he destroyed them. They remained nations somewhere else. That's what he did. Edom was moved from Edom, south of Eretz Yisrael, to Italy. And that's where Rome became the seat of Edom. That's Rashi. That's Rashi, the Taurus. nefachais, like my usar, like a rake, some hapachatzvua, a shovel that turns over the grain. So I'm in a monon pitziyayev, and a pachais, and it turns over, in a monon pitziyayev, then a fachais min a monais, and the opposite of trustworthy is neshika sayne, is the kissing of the enemy. Machluf lachash nifsas, after it gets cut, it regrows. I've had to say karazim alimayim. It does say karazim alimayim. Shechina hid amri. The Shechina added the word alimayim. You are a karazim. Klemish ain't under mamakamayim. He blessed them. They should be by tree to cedar trees. Implication: no source of water. Shechina amra alimayim. Chen kulu mafarish ba'gadim kaigavna. The Medrash says it all right. He said kinecholim nitoy. Who am I kinecholim? He said they should be like streams, paiskin, that don't last for long. Sometimes they stop. They will always flow. Who am I? Kiganais. I'm a baskali nor. Who am I? Kaholim, like spices. Tabasco. I'm a not Hashem. Ruach Duraimus Kasha is the most difficult of all the winds. That's the Gemara writer. V'loyait El Shazocha Kana Little Mimenu Kuma Slichtim Mimenu Sefer Torah. The Kana is Zaycha. The Reed is Zaycha. That's the tool we use to write a Sefer Torah. I don't think we use it anymore, but in those days they wrote Sefer Torah using reeds, and that's the implication of the low plant that quote unquote is anivistic, has no hardiness to it. That's where Sefer Torah is written. Implication being, lesson being, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to give Torah to humble people, not to haughty people. That's what it says. Yes.
I don't know if
that's what the Gemara says in time.
I don't know if the answer to this, but I would ask it. Did Bilam get Schar for the bracha he gave?
Not that I know of.
But what I'm implying is that he wanted to curse, right? You wouldn't let him curse, okay? But I want to do something bad, and I'm not for sure not getting punished for cursing. I didn't curse, right? I mean, so for the intention,
doesn't say he got punished for the intention either. Doesn't say that. He got punished for the advice he gave. He did it. First of all, Bilam's personal life wasn't, nothing to write home about.
Okay.
Was not a paradigm of virtue, correct?
He was
a nayav. The Gemara says he did a lot of terrible things.
Okay,
he did bestiality, kind of sabamas. He had a record. Number one. Number two is, as we will see, if the Gemara goes along, he gave a advice to Maya Benigun how to be Makshul Klal Yisrael, which unfortunately was successful later on. We didn't get that part yet, right? So he has a lot to pay for. He's not getting punished for these clothes. He's getting punished for everything else that he did afterwards. Now, did he get any reward? Not that I know of. I mean, he got killed in Eilam Hazeh. He has no Eilam Haba. I'm not 100% sure where the reward came. Unless he got it while he was alive, I have no idea. I can't answer your question. As you said, I wouldn't be able to answer.
Kulam Kudrula Lekwala means that his words did become Kula at one right?
Later on, yes.
Good. So you're, he didn't say it, but he intended it. So that it meant something.
Right.
So that, if you go with that logic, so what? So the bracha also should be give.
We're not dealing Schar V'Einish. I'm trying to figure out where Schar V'Einish is coming in here. I don't know what Reb Einishel does in Schar V'Einish. We're not discussing Schar V'Einish. You want to know, did he get punished, did he get rewarded? I don't know. Did the Gemara deal with Schar V'Einish? We know he has no Chelek in Olam Haba. And we know he got killed. And we know he was a big Rasha. Those are the facts we know.
I wasn't asking more like, this is how, in regards to Bilam, this is how Hashem used him. I mean,
he was used that way, correct. Yes.
The influence that got him more comfortable is always the three who Uncle takes counsel with prior to his dinners.
One is Bilam, right.
Right.
Meaning?
So, if you want to, makes you happier to think of him as being boiled up in excrement, that's fine. It's a chazal to support that.
No, he's in boiled up in Shekhazera.
That's Shekhazera's Isaiah.
Isaiah is Tzaya, no? Tzaya Rizach.
That's right, I'm sorry, I switched them.
There's three there. Tzitzit, who gets burned up and his ashes get dispersed to the seven seas, and Bilam that gets boiled up, Mashiach Vizera Resechus, and right.
I was wrong, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you mean. And Kalamalik al Dibbe Chachamim. Yes.
I was thinking of another Korach.
Korach
also has a
similar faith.
He's
going to
boiling something and he comes to the surface and says.
It doesn't say he's boiling at all.
No?
No. No, it says that Korach is down there yelling, "My Shamas and Tara Samas." It doesn't say, but it says, no, I know what you're referring to. The Gemara says there that the world goes around and reaches this spot once every 30 days. Like a spit that goes around an oven, but not that he is boiling in any place. Doesn't say that. At least I don't remember that. Something you might write. Vayaris Akeni Vayisa Mishaloi. He saw Keni and he raised his. How does he learn Mishaloi? His.
He declaimed his parable.
His parable? Meaning he said Nevuah on Keni. Now Keni is Yisrael's family. And what happened was, is Bilam couldn't understand why Yisrael made it so big and he made it so small when they were together at one point. So I know Amalei Bilam Yisrael Keni. You see, Manabai Seita, weren't you there when we had that meeting? What to do with Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim? Mi Hashiv Chayitul Isanei Eilam. Who put you next to the strong ones in the world? How did you end up by Klal Yisrael Keni is Yisrael? Yes.
Seven names.
Vahinu Damar Abchiyam Rabbah Ram Simoi Shloishai Sabaya Teitza. There were three at that council, at that meeting with Parai. Bilam, Iyah, V'Yisrael. Bilam, Shiyat. Bilam that gave advice that Parai should enslave the Jews. Narak ultimately gets killed. Iyah, V'Shasak. Iyah that kept quiet. Nidin, V'Yisurim, gets punished with Yisurim. Yisrael, Shabarach. Zachu, B'nei Bonov, Leisha, V'Liskus, Agathis. His descendants sit in the Sanhedrin, Shinemar. Mishpachai, Seifrim, Yosh, V'Yavitz. The families of the scribes. Those who sit together with Yavitz, Tarasim, Shemasim, Seichsim, Hey Makinim, they're from Kinim, Aboam, Mach, Mechamas, Aviv, Beisrechav, they come from Chamas, the father of Beisrechav, Sibene Keni, Chaisim, Mesha, Olam, Yerat, Tomorrow. They came up from the city of the days they went from Yisrael, meaning from Yerichai. Basically, he made it to the big time. So the belt says over for the Biskarov and many others, why is the Midah connected, Midah of keeping quiet Yisurim? So they say over because when a person's in pain, they don't keep quiet. If a person can keep quiet, means they're not in pain. Didn't bother Eev, the Klal Yisrael would be enslaved. If he wasn't pro, he wasn't against. Kept quiet. Didn't bother him. So Eev Shishasak didn't be Yisurim. Yes?
Yisrael, wouldn't it have been better for him to speak against?
So this is the question they ask. So why is Yisrael Zayka for running away? Why didn't he speak against? So many Terutzim are said, I will tell you mine, my own Teretz. My own teretz is that when there's a vote of 2-1 in a bezin, the one, even though he spoke against, is part of the final psak. The psak becomes a psak that includes him. He is part of that bezin. If you run away and you leave it there as two, so then bezin is not a valid bezin. They're not a valid bezin of three. Meaning, you have no part in the psak. You ran away. You have nothing to do with it. You don't want to even be a negative, because a negative, is when Supreme Court, I don't know how it works in Supreme Court, I don't think it works that way. But theoretically, if you would need all the votes, and one would not be there, they wouldn't be able to vote, no matter how the vote goes. So by running away, he refuses to be a part of the PSAC, saying, I don't want to have anything to do with this, so I'm so anti this, it's not enough for me to scream again, because I'll be outvoted. I will leave, and therefore not be part of it. Which is why he's like the Sanhedrin, where that is you see that all the time. That the Sanhedrin Paskins is a unit of Sanhedrin, regardless whether it's 35 to 33, or whatever the vote may be, it ends up being a stock of 70 or 71.
So in your interpretation, Eev is a silent majority, he's not a non-participant.
What happens is, because Eev keeps quiet, right, he acquiesces, it's like a scummer, they say.
I hear, but wouldn't it have been more powerful to go, you're talking about the destruction of Jewish baby boys.
Right.
Wouldn't it have been more powerful if he stood up at the risk of his own life and said, no, and to the end, to try to maybe sway Milo, or Paro, or make up an argument to stop this?
So that, you have to say that he read the situation, that there was nothing he could do to stop it. He didn't want to be part of it. He ran away. Yeah, according to that Mandiyamim, the Chazal doesn't work. Yeah, but then there's a 15 Mandiyamim that says he was. Right? There's one Mandiyamim that says he lived there, and there's all Mandiyamim that says he lived there, and other Mandiyamim, right? There's all kinds of different Mandiyamim there.
Even in Uncle
Salah,
there's the
schus
of
the Zorah
that got destroyed.
So this is the Kasha that he asked. So which is the schus that he got? So one leads to the other. Because he did this, he was not going to get Maish Rabbeinu, which led to that. That's how they answer. Mashiach hasn't asked the question. Somebody asked it. Somebody big asked the question. Yes?
Does Rebbe really believe that?
Ani Mamas, 13 of them, I believe.
Okay, that's my question, though. Is that if, even if the vote was one, even if all three of them would say, don't kill the baby, part was going to listen to this.
This is a formality. I mean, this is just, come on, I mean, really, he would, oh, you know what, we're not going to kill the babies, I want to be him, nice guy. It's really mad. They could have come up with the idea of killing the babies. I don't know, I don't know, what was the topic of the, you know, somebody, yeah, I think it was to kill the baby. Rashi says to kill the babies, yes, and he really, like,
it meant, like, it's like the Shomer Shabbos vote. Who's president? It's already voted before we start. No, I was at what that meeting was.
You're on tape.
I came 2 minutes
You're
late.
On tape.
I read the vote happened. On paper already. We've already written who won.
You're on tape.
Actually, it would be better to say, like,
most elections, by the way, most elections in the world work that way.
Yes, why the happy is they voted for it? I wasn't there.
Well, you can. I said most elections in the world, they decide the winner before the vote takes place. The trashy. Exactly. Lo yimano ayisa ba'isa etza. Shigazer parika ben ayilu dayore tashlechua bitmiya. Father Yisa, you were there, because come on. O miya shivchait v'leitzani yoylam. Shasidim b'nech aleishim, your kids are going to sit v'lishkis agazes. Your place of sitting is strong. How did you get there? Who got you there? And the answer is, by running away, he was zeicher to that. Isn't that the discussion that Eev? Eev is a tzaddik who suffered a lot.
Even though he was one who was quiet.
He suffered because of that. He got a kapara. That's the Gemara about him. He raised his parable and he said, "Vayaymer, I miyichya misumay kale. Who will live misumay kale?" Now we don't know what that means. Amar Reb Shimon ben Levi, Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, I mishemachaya atzma b'shem kale. Woe to the person who makes himself into a god. Now the censor took this out, but the censor saw implication in this. That the censor saw an implication in this, that it's a reference to people who make a human into a god, right? And that Bilam is saying, woe to the one who proclaims himself as being godly. And they took it out, the censor, because they interpreted it about themselves, and therefore they took it out. The Rashi, Shemachai Atzma B'Shem Kael, Aisa Atzma L'Kai, makes himself into a god, Eliyah, Kamei Pari V'Chiram. L'Shanach Ami Shemachai Atzma Kalim, Ayin Lam Ba'Aitzim Ne'adam, second one drops the word B'Shem Kael. It just says, Ayin Mishemachai Atzma. Woe to the person that spends all his life enjoying himself. L'Aitzim Ne'adam Shemachai Mad'adnam Atzma Ba'ilam Azeh. They live and they enjoy themselves in Elam Azeh. Parkim Ol Taira Ne'al Tavaram. They throw away the yoke of Taira or Mishamnam as Atzma. So according to the first pshat, he's referring to some man-made deity, and according to the second pshat, he's referring to people, woe to the people who indulge himself in this world. So according to the second pshat, the censor didn't have to take it out, but the censor didn't know the second pshat.
If you pronounce it from Kel.
Well, I said it because the other pshat that have it is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So therefore, in the first pshat, it would not be Kel.
You mean someone is equating himself to Hashem.
Right.
Not just into a god.
Well, no. The next shot in the Gemara will be that it's talking about the Rabbanu Shlom himself. So when I pronounce the blessing, there are different shatim. Like some shatim refers to the Rabbanu Shlom. So therefore, I don't say the word out. I'm Rabbi Yechidim. I lay la'uma shetimtza mishrash ha'kadosh baruch hu'ayis ha'pigyan labanav. Woe to the nation that will be around when HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeems his children. Who would want to put his cloak in between a lion and a lioness when they want to have a relationship? When the Rebbeinu Shem is ready to redeem Klal Yisrael, woe to one that stands in the way. Who will be lived through when God is ready to put his plan into action, when he's ready to take Klal Yisrael out of Golos? See, according to this chat, it's referring to the Rebbeinu Shem. That's why when I pronounce the pasuk, I have to say the word Kel. Rashi, they changed La'atzmai to La'amai, to his nation. That's what the Rashash says. Mishalim Gmulu Tzadikim Lasid Lavai. Kach Shemati. Oiloi La'uma Shetimotzai. Oiloi La'uma Shetia Baisin Ayamim. Shiyala Adaita La'akiv Yisrael, who will try to stop Klal Yisrael. Mi Matu Ksus Bein Lavi La'akvon. Shli Yizdaka Gzel Azeh. They shouldn't have a relationship. The Mesukkanu is a very dangerous thing to do. Klaim Amihu Shiyahu La'akiv Yisrael. That Kadosh Baruch Hu Machnisam. Who will be able to stop Klal Yisrael when that Kadosh Baruch Hu gathers all the exiles? Ships will come from Kisim. Now Kisim seems to be, according to Rashi, referring to Rome. Now, they will come with ships and they will do a massive destruction. Amarav Libun Aspir. Kisim is Libun Aspir. I don't know what that means, but that's what it is. V'inu Asher, V'inu Aver, and they will afflict Asher. This is what the Kisim will do, and they will afflict Aver. Ad Asher Kotli Miktel. Till the country of Asher, the Romans will kill them out. Afterwards, they will take them as slaves. So there'll be one level of Inu Asher and another level of Inu Aver. Rashi, Sim, Sfinas, Gedailas, big ships. Come on, see Adri, Layaviranu, it says, I think. Says, what does he change? Baal to Loi? Layaviranu. Big ships will not be able to cross it. The Tibni Akisim Am Rav Liba Atzbir, the Kisim Haidu Mokim Shishmai Kach at the place. Ad Asher Mikta Katli, Ma'asher Ve'eluch Mashab Delu Shibudi. Afterwards, they just take him as slaves. The Tibni Akisim Inu Asher, the Katlu, Vinu Aver, the Mashab Deluhu. Now, they take out the word Ad Asher, Klaimar. They take, as if to say, meaning the word Kisim Raimim, they say belong beforehand. The Kisim were the Raimim. Ad Asher Klaimar. Aysen Umak Shemeibak Kodesh Baruch Hu Betzim, those nations that Kodesh Baruch Hu brings in the boat, Asidim Laharik is Kalu Umayt Ad Asher. Will kill out all the nations to Asher. Ma'ashev Eilich, Menichon Aysen, they'll leave them, Meshabdim Behem, La'asid Kamari, it's talking about La'asid, before Mashiach comes, this is what will happen. Okay, we will stop here. We'll continue Meshachem tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, and we'll finish off the letter.